Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call. This is the first conference call in June 2016. This is Payman Mutahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. Every Thursday night at 7 p.m., I conduct these weekly conference calls in which I do my best to answer any and all of your freedom questions. Whether the issue that you're dealing with is the IRS, a state income tax agency, the police, or any other government agent or agency of any kind, I am here to help you understand the law and your rights and assist you to understand the situation, understand the U.S. Constitution, the laws, and the proper procedures you need to assert to protect and defend your life, your liberty, and your property. How to live free, folks. I founded the Freedom Law School in January 1st, 1996, over 20 years ago, to help educate average Americans like you on living free. Why? Well, folks, I came from an unfree country. Came from Iran in 1977 to America at the age of 14. I thought and I believed I had come to the land of the free and the home of the brave, I was told. But I found myself in the land of the meek and the home of the indentured. I found the government owned by the big banks and their corporations. The big banks in this country, folks, make the money. All the money in our country, folks, is not made by government. None of it is made by government. All of our money is by banks making money out of thin air, legalized counterfeiting, and lending it to you and me to buy cars, homes, to businesses to expand, even to the governments and the federal government. They all borrow money from the banks. That's right, Chase, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, Citi. These are the big five crooks and criminals that own America, folks. Through that money power creation, they also own and control all the major corporations in America. They own and control the media in this country. We haven't had, as a result, a government by, of, and for we the people for a long time. It's about time we get it back. That's why, folks, across America, you're seeing rallies, not for the Republicans' land for office ever, senators and governors and so forth, but for Donald Trump. That's why Hillary Clinton can get a large crowd, and people are showing up for Bernie Sanders. Because people know Washington, D.C. is corrupt and bought by money. And folks, Freedom Law School is going to expose all the lies and corruption and help you, assist you to live free now through education and action. Educated action, folks, is the way of Freedom Law School. So if you go to Freedom Law School's website at livefreenow.org, you will find that you can get 1 year of free freedom law education by just simply signing up at livefreenow.org. In addition to that, folks, let me tell you, this is stuff you cannot and you will not find other places on the internet. Freedom Law School is a very, very unique source you found out about. Congratulations, folks. You will not find a source that actually has a record of winning against the government and the IRS like Freedom Law School does. That works, that helps empower you to live free. That's why part of that is these weekly conference calls in which I answer your questions free of charge. And I'm going to do my best to answer any and all of your freedom questions tonight. And oftentimes I can do that. At other times, I may need to refer you to somebody else to one of our freedom courses, one of our freedom packages, or a private one-on-one consultation. But no matter what, folks, I'm going to do my best to direct you to the direction you want and need to go to find the freedom and justice answers that you are looking for. I believe and assert that there is no law that requires the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. A giant fraud, one of the many lies we've been told and foisted on the American people. That's right. You're working, folks, and you don't have enough money to pay your mortgage, rent, food, gas, insurance, you're in debt and credit cards. Folks, guess what? Because part of your money is being stolen illegally. And at the highest levels of the IRS and the U.S. government and the U.S. Department of Injustice, they know about that. And we're exposing all of that, folks. And tonight I'm going to answer your questions. And later I will tell you about how one of our students who confronted the government about illegality income tax, okay, how he's going to be in practice with me putting the IRS on trial the week of June 13th in Oakland, California, folks. This is real. This is a real, actual court case. I'll be giving you more information about all that, folks. Court case number and all that. So, folks, just hang on in there. I'm going to be giving you more information about all that. But first, what I'll be doing is answer your freedom questions that you may have tonight. Again, if it's any government agency of any kind, IRS, whatever it is, I'll be happy to answer your questions tonight. And then once all of your questions are answered, then I'll tell you guys more about the Richard Grant trial in Oakland, California, how we're going to be putting the government on trial coming up. So with that, folks, let's see if our caller from area code 941 has a question. Call from area code 941 if you have a question. Just give me your first name and then your question, please.
Hi, Payman. It's John. And my question is relative to the upcoming Grant trial. And when I read the judge's pretrial motions, I saw that a lot of the issues, if not all of them, seem to be similar to, if not identical to, U.S. God, I can't remember the name. U.S. The first trial that Larry Becraft did, I want to say U.S. v. Grant, but it's not U.S. v. Grant. It's an older case, and now I'm having a blank here as far as what the name of the case is.
You talking about a Lloyd Long case in Tennessee, perhaps?
Yeah, it was in Tennessee.
Lloyd Long case in Tennessee. No problem. Well, I'll be talking about that more, my friend. When I get to that, I'll come back and address your question about that in more detail, my friend. That's not a problem.
Okay, very good. That was what I was listening in about. But I'm sorry I couldn't remember U.S. v. Long for some reason.
Okay, no problem.
U.S. v. Grant, so. Okay,
no
thank
problem.
You.
No problem. You're welcome. Hang in there, John. I'll be coming back to to that, no problem. Now, we got another caller right now from area code 413. Call from area code 413. If you have a question, please announce yourself, give me your first name, and then your question, please.
Yeah, I'm in 413.
What's your name, sir?
This is Vic.
Mick?
Yes.
M-I-C-K. Very good, my friend. Do you have a question, Mick?
Yeah. I just received something from the state of New York. I don't no longer live in New York, but they're claiming that there's a tax law 174C which allows the tax department to garnish your income without filing a warrant. I mean, just by reading that, I see that that's in violation of my rights. but I wanted to find out if you are familiar with that chapter or subchapter or whatever nonsense this is.
Well, yes, I'm not exactly familiar with that chapter, but I do understand the concept that you're talking about, that they claim, the states and the IRS claim for taxes. They can take your money without going to court. Yes, I do understand about that. Yes, and you're right about that. You didn't know, surprise, surprise, Mick, while the American people were asleep, okay, our public service and government passed laws that when it comes to taxes, they don't need to go to court. Okay? They don't need to do like you have to collect someone else's money to go to court. They can simply send you a proposed tax letter, and you got to challenge them. Otherwise, you owe the money by default because you didn't challenge them. You owe them, and now they can go take your money as if they had a court order. Yes, that's one of the things that I teach at Freedom Law School's classes, a class called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control, Level 1, a course in law and procedures for those who are committed to living a free life. I cover questions just like this, Mick, yes. That's unfortunately how the system works, and that's why we got to do something about it and how to fight this corrupt system that exists. Yes, but in your situation, it looks like you're out of New York. As long as you have no money in New York, not being paid from New York, no bank account, stock brokerage account or pension, anything in New York, they cannot do anything to you anyhow. You should be okay, my friend.
Excellent. Thank you. I'll look into that course you're talking about, by the way, and I'll be listening in.
Well, folks, if you call Freedom Law School or go on our website, sign up for a free education, you will be mailed a package first in the U.S. mail. And then after you get the package in the mail, you're going to get that, you know, education online as well, my friend. And so that course comes with all of our courses with a 100% unconditional money-back guarantee. 90-day, 100% unconditional guarantee. Why? Because I know the course has and teaches what you want and what you need to know. It's there, folks. The stuff you want and need to know is in the course. So, yes, I look forward to hearing from you. And you guys, you can also call Freedom Law School at 813-444-4800. Okay?
Yep.
Very good, Mick. Let's see if we got another caller. I think we have from area code 856. A caller has a question. They call from area code 856. If you have a question, please announce your first name and then your question. They call from area code 856 having no questions. We are going to go to the call from area code 832. If you have a question, please announce yourself now.
Hello, Payman. Yeah, this is Brian.
Ryan or yeah. Brian with a B R Y A N? Which one?
Oh, Brian, B R I A N. Yeah, I had
the B R I A N. Okay, yes, sir.
Yeah. You have to pull the battery out of the phone. We have thunderstorms here, and we got one of those weather alerts on the other phone beeping, so I'm going to pull that battery out. Very annoying. But, Payman, yeah, I have two things. Traffic stop, very illegal. One of them was they wanted to pilfer $300 from me for not wearing a seatbelt. And quite frankly, I have an airbag. And a few years ago, seatbelt ripped my right shoulder out. I used to be the number one ranked frisbee player in the world, and I can't even teach frisbee now. So no more. With a seatbelt, you're going to pivot left or right. Okay. Now, with an airbag, I'll take a bloody nose over a shoulder being ripped out. But the thing is, I own the vehicle, I own my own body. Who are they who say they own my vehicle and own my body? And by the way, hand over $300.
That's a very good question, my friend, and
they're depriving me of my choice to choose which form of personal safety I want to have in my own vehicle. Okay, so jurisdiction, show me the papers that you own me, own my car. Show me the papers that you own my body. Okay, and that is an illegal law. The state of Texas has that law in there, and that's an illegal law. It's unlawful prosecution. Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, it's certainly against natural law what they're doing. But it's a law that against laws of nature has been forced and imposed upon you by the people with a gun, by people that have more power. That's what the law has been changed to. From natural law and natural rights, it's become enforced by literally force. And that's the problem we got to realize. What's going on out there?
Question for you. Am I being deprived of my constitutional rights to choose whatever form I want for my own personal safety in a vehicle in which I own? That's my question.
In my opinion, yes. But unfortunately, not according to the opinion of the Supreme Court justices of the state that you live in and the U.S. Supreme Court. These guys have unfortunately sold our rights down the river in many ways for decades. And that's one of the things that they've done. They've taken the right to travel away.
My intent is a jury trial and to furnish ownership of my car, furnish ownership of myself, including birth certificate, ask the prosecutor to furnish ownership of my car, ask the prosecutor to furnish ownership over me. And that really is, you know, I just basically want to ask the jury, do you want to participate in a legalized carjacking? Because that's what it is. Legal. Where is the victim in this? Okay. That's a legal car. That is a legal carjacking the way they have it set up. Am I wrong?
They took your car away by force? Is that what the police did?
No, they didn't take but they want to take all my money for not having a
seatbelt. I tell you, in California, where I came from, they do that. They've done that for 20 years. You don't have a driver's license or proper car registration. They steal your car with a gun. Legalized carjacking, the police, the sheriff can do.
I believe it. However, they're breaking federal law. Sure, it could be a state law, but federal law supersedes
no,
state
no,
law.
Not federal. No, unfortunately, my friend, let me tell you something. You don't realize what kind of a corrupt system we've developed into that they allow the judges allow all kind of corrupt stuff going on out there, and they call it legal. They call it constitutional. Well, I don't think it's either. But, you know, the law is not what you and I say in practice, unfortunately. You know, not the common man says. It's what the government paid, government biased judges make the law to be to fit the system. That's the problem.
We need to write an article. Right is wrong and wrong is right here in America. How does that sound?
Well, that's what I talk about in Freedom Law School courses, my friend. I talk about all these issues and more. That's why the Level 1 course, which I just talked to you guys about, is over 20 hours of audio, an hour and a half video, over 200 pages of paperwork, because I delve into these issues and a lot more in more detail, Brian. So call them, my friend. You know, get in touch with us. I think you'll like, and I talk about this stuff. You're going to love. I give you one tip. Okay, go read the book called No Treason, The Constitution of No Authority. You will find that book on the website of the parent organization of Freedom Law School at Freedom Church, freedomchurch.org.
So you said it's called No Treason?
No Treason.
No Treason.
The Constitution of No Authority. And he talks about these issues of, hey, who are these guys to come and impose their will on the people? Even the U.S. Constitution. You are not a signer to the U.S. Constitution. So how can your rights be in any way affected by a document that you did not sign, Brian? Okay.
Right.
It's well known. Contract. Yeah. Everybody knows that nobody can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. You cannot be forced into an agreement you are not a party to. You know. So these are the stuff, my friend, that I talk about. I think you are very much like the discussion about law, natural law and natural rights that I talk about at the very beginning of our Freedom Law School course, before I get into things like the constitutional law and statutes and codes and court cases and more, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So sign up for our free education package, my friend, and we're going to send that package to you in the mail. You are most welcome, my friend. Okay, let's now go to a caller we have from area code 904. The caller from area code 904, if you have a question, please go ahead and announce yourself now. Okay, the caller from area code 904 does not have a question at this time. Let's go to the caller from area code 516. If you have a question, the caller from area code 516, please announce yourself at this time.
Just listening, Payman. Thank you.
You are most welcome, my friend. Let's go to a caller that we have now. Let's see, another one. We have a caller from area code. Well, the number doesn't show up. A bunch of ones show up. You've been on the call for about 20 minutes, my friend.
Maybe it's me.
Yeah, it's you. Yes. Who is this?
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for taking the call. My name is Michael from California.
Good, Michael. Whereabouts are you calling from in California?
I'm in the Riverside area.
Ah, okay. Very good. I used to live in Orange County below you. Then I moved to the high desert and the feeling
yes,
above you.
Yes, I saw that on your website.
Yes, yes. Okay, Michael,
you
said, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes, Michael, huh?
I found your website a couple years ago because the last time I paid my taxes was 2010 is the last time I filed. And then in 2011, I tried to file, but I kind of was too busy. So I just paid them, and I never filed. And that was the last time I ever did anything with taxes. So now the California Franchise Tax Board is, you know, they've sent me some letters saying that I owe, you know, 2011, 12, 13, in the amount of about $30,000. They've started levying my bank accounts over the last year or so. I have not got anything from the IRS yet. And, of course, this is all weighing on my mind. And I know you specialize in this. So I wanted to find out from you, what steps should I take from here? What should I do?
That is a good question, my friend. The problem is that at this point, your choices are now much less that had you contacted Freedom Law School 2 years ago or more when you found out about Freedom Law School. Because before the FTB starts taking your money, just like the IRS, as I mentioned earlier, they give you an opportunity to ask for a hearing. They are supposed to give you a tax proposal letter called a notice of proposed assessment.
Yes, I've got those.
Okay, and when they send you the notice of proposed assessment, they also are supposed to give you 20 days to challenge. I'm sorry, 60 days to challenge the FTB's tax proposal. And if you do make that request, then they are supposed to give you a hearing, and in that hearing, you can challenge them. And if you do not like the result of that hearing, you can take that on appeal to the Board of Equalization. Okay. And even if you lost, that would at least get you some time, a couple years perhaps, before they could take your money. But you had an opportunity there at least to challenge the tax at that time. The problem is now that you didn't do that because you didn't know you could or should have done that. Your options are much more limited. Mm-hmm. Now, at this point to challenge the tax, the only thing that the California Constitution allows you to do and California laws is this corrupt solution, which I hate. They say you have to pay the tax first and then sue for your money back. No matter how illegal, unconstitutional, or arbitrary the taxes that you're challenging may be. They just, you know, say you have to pay first and then get your money back, which, of course, the problem is most people do not have the money to, pay up front the tax and sue for it back. So that does not give you adequate, in my opinion, remedy to realistically be able to challenge the FTV now at this stage that they've already assessed and fixed the amount of tax on you. So that limits your choices, my friend. The only good thing about the franchise tax board is the only thing is that as opposed to IRS that takes just about everything you make from your paycheck, okay, or your money, they at most take 25% of your money. So if you make $4,000 a month, they take $1,000 a month, but they'll leave at least $3,000 for you. And they are pretty liberal on letting people make payment plans, smaller payment plans. If you cannot afford $1,000 a month, let you pay maybe $200 or $400 a month until it's paid off. That's the only thing good about them. Other than that, the franchise tax board is more illegal, arbitrary, the stuff that they do compared to the IRS. They make the IRS, Michael, look like a good boys that just follow the laws. That's how bad the FTB is. And I tell you something else. One of the options that some people have, some people don't so easily, is think about leaving that doggone corrupt criminal socialist state. California is in practice, and the Democratic Party is owned by government employees. They own – government employee unions own the state of California. The state of California has to put aside, Michael, check this out. I was told this about 4 years ago by California legislature. California State Assemblyman told me that the state has to put aside $3 million for every one of the employees' retirement. How would you like to have $3 million, Michael, in your retirement fund, in your IRA or whatever, right? But the government employees in California get that much. County employees are not far behind that. Well, how are you going to fund that kind of money, my friend? Well, the government workers get together. They're all buddies with FTB, Franchise Tax Board, employees, the government workers, too. They just steal it from the California people like you. That's why it's so arbitrary. That's why they raised the tax rates a few years ago, because it was not enough to fund the cushy retirement of the California government workers who own the Democratic Party, who owns the state of California, my friend. You may still have some of the choices, the limited choices, my friend. I don't have a silver bullet. As much as I would love to have a quick, easy answer for you. But one thing I give you, one more, we got to talk about that privately, one-on-one in a private consultation, Michael. But let me tell you just one other tip. Don't leave your money in a bank account. If you have money in a bank account, whether you have $100 or $20,000, if they claim you owe them, they're going to wipe it all out.
Right.
So cash your checks, pay your bills with money orders, okay, or pay me cash in person. But do not use banks to pay your bills, because it will surprise, seize your bank accounts. And while you're down the bank, they also will penalize you, fine you, charge you a hefty fee, $7,500 for processing this money being stolen by the FTB. While you're down, they do that. And so just don't leave your money there, because the checks will bounce. That's at least a short term. We learned that lesson the hard way. But you see, folks, that's why I tell everybody, you want and need to get at the minimum, every one of you, Freedom Law School's Level 1 course. It's a course that y'all should have been taught in high school. See, how much did it take from your bank account, Michael, the FTB?
I knew not to put my money in the bank account because I knew it was coming. So far they've collected about $100.
Okay, good. Smart man. Not much. Yeah. Just don't use it. Okay? Okay.
Exactly.
You only leave
just so everybody
10
knows,
bucks.
Yeah? Exactly. Yeah, just keep them very minimum in there. And they seem to always levy the bank account right before a holiday, too. I think they do that strategically. But you mentioned leaving California, which is another question I wanted to ask you. Because I run an internet business, and
yeah.
I do a com- I do basically a commission thing where I get paid one check every month from one source that pays me for any sales that I got them. And, you know, it's a considerable amount, about $15,000 a month. And I was thinking about opening a corporation or something in Nevada or possibly Delaware, so I can just get out of the California jurisdiction. And since basically I'm not working except for on the internet, what do you suggest in the realm of that?
Well, I'll tell you what. You got your head directed in the wrong direction. And listen, Michael, congratulations to you for not having get out of the being a Johnny Paycheck, which a lot of us, we all start usually Johnny Paycheck, wage earner, salaried person, wage earner mostly, not salaries these days anymore, and starting your own internet business. So that gives the freedom to move. Get the heck out of California. Yes, I applaud you for thinking about that. You absolutely ought to move because that will solve your FTB problem. You still have the IRS problem because IRS does have a jurisdiction in all 50 states. And this was a warning shot to you, Michael. Don't wait until the IRS comes after you before you get to, with Freedom Law School. Okay?
Am I in jeopardy of going to jail for delinquent taxes in California?
Well, there's always a chance, whether you file or don't file. If you owe any money to the state, they can always come after you, claim you're delinquent, and try to put you in jail. IRS can do that to anybody. So can the FTB. So that's the wrong kind of – well, that's quite a question like, are you in jeopardy of any second dying of earthquake? The answer is yes. Any second, you could die of earthquake in California. But that's not a very good question because I'm in Florida. Can you say, am I in any chance at any second dying of a thunderstorm? Yes. The question, Michael, is not if it's possible. The question you want to ask yourself is, how likely is it to happen? It is not very likely that I'm going to die of a thunderstorm, lightning. And it's not very likely going to die of an earthquake, but it's certainly possible. Okay? So think of things in that way. A lot of things are possible, but not very likely, my friend. Does that answer your question in that regard?
Yeah, is it likely that the IRS is going to put you in jail more than like the state?
IRS comes after people criminally more than the state, yes. And IRS will take a lot more of your money, okay? A lot more percentage of your money than the franchise tax board. And you cannot just leave – you can leave California, have nothing in California, and FTB cannot touch you anymore. But IRS, they have jurisdiction power in all 50 states. So what you really want to do, Michael, is have a one-on-one private consultation with me, my friend, so I can answer these and other questions that you have so you can make an intelligent decision what's going on, all the ways you want to do it, the ways you don't want to do it, the common mistakes and pitfalls that people do make you want to avoid, and very important steps that you want and need to take vastly increase your chances of being success and being left alone. Okay, because a lot of people do things that are the hurt, they're the right things, but they're actually the wrong things to do. Or they do things that are okay, but there are better ways to do those things.
And you said so I was thinking about it the wrong way by thinking about opening an out-of-state corporation, is that what you said?
Well, corporation is one option, but there's other things you can do. There's corporations, trusts, limited liability companies, limited liability partnerships. You know, there are different ways that you can do this stuff. It's not all one the same, okay?
You know about all those, so during our conversation.
I know about all those. I don't do it myself, but I can certainly refer you to other people who know how to do those things and do them correctly for you, my friend.
Right.
It's very important
that
you do this stuff right from the get-go.
All right. Well,
you heard
us saying,
you're welcome, Michael,
sir.
Because let me tell you this. If the thing is called an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Heard that saying?
Of course.
Yep. That's your situation, my friend. You have an ideal situation, my friend. Why do you think I left California myself? One of the reasons I left California because, hey, Freedom Law School, everything, you know, is internet-based for the most part, and telephone. Telephone and internet could be anywhere. Why should I be stuck in California? Why should I have to do, you know, with the water shortage, you know, with the aggressive, oppressive FTB, with the expensive real estate that you put in? Why do you have to live in Riverside, eat all that smog? You can come to Florida, Nevada, Texas, don't have all that, and pay one-third of the of what you pay for housing there in Riverside and live in a much nicer place and much less or no traffic.
Exactly.
So definitely, I tell you, with experience, my friend, my knowledge of how to do it even better, property increase, because I've actually done the process of leaving California, Michael. So call Freedom Law School. Let's do a one-on-one private consultation, my friend. Get you on the right footing.
Yeah, let's do it. Thanks for the info. Have a good night.
You're welcome, my friend. Stay on the call, my friend. I think you're going to find this, we're going to talk about this trial in Oakland, find it informative, my friend.
Yep, I'll be here.
Okay, folks, I think I answered everybody's questions on this call about your personal freedom situations. Now I'm going to go ahead and talk about what's going to happen in Oakland, California. Okay, folks, even though on the week of June 13th, Mr. Richard Thomas Grant, will be put on trial. Actually, starting this coming Monday, June 6th, the trial starts. The government wants to put him in prison for taxes. Okay, that is what they want to do. But in practice, we are going to put the IRS, United States Department of Justice, the U.S. government on trial. Yep. And how is it that that's going to happen, folks? It's going to happen because Mr. Richard Grant will get to testify about why he didn't file and pay the federal income tax and how he came to that belief, to that understanding. And folks, I helped Mr. Richard Grant with this issue because I sent letters for him to the U.S. government, to the lawmakers, to his congressmen, to his senators, Congressman Miller, Senators Boxer and Frankenstein, Feinstein, about the income tax fraud. And folks, none of these lawmakers could show the law to Mr. Grant that requires the average American to file and pay federal income tax. And you know what? What Mr. Grant relied upon was not just himself. He relied upon the government not answering one of their own gun-carrying special agents, with the IRS's own criminal investigation division agent in San Jose, California, who asked the IRS the law that requires the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. And this IRS special agent, Joel Bannister, is one of my students. He talked to me and others that I introduced him to about the income tax fraud. And he confronted the IRS about all this. IRS never did answer him when he was working for the IRS or afterwards. When public forums of debate were set up by a non-profit organization called We the People for Constitutional Education, they set up these debates for Joel Bannister, this former IRS special agent, and the IRS, the federal government, to come and debate all of this, not in California where Mr. Joel Bannister was from. No, that was all done in Washington, D.C. This foundation flew Joseph Bannister from California to Washington, D.C. to debate the government in the seat of the government itself in Washington, D.C. You know what D.C. stands for? The District of Criminals. A bunch of criminals have taken over the White House and these other halls of power. The money whores, prostitutes of the big banks and corporations, and other money-powered lobbyists who pay for the election advertising campaign of these corrupt politicians. Folks, the government never showed up ever to debate Joe Barrister, and he wrote his letter directly to the Commissioner of Internal Revenue, the head of the IRS, Mr. Charles Rosati. When he was with the IRS, his letter was sent by his manager to IRS's headquarters in Washington, D.C., to the head criminal investigation division office of the IRS. They could never answer Joe Barrister. They could never show him the law that requires the average American to file and pay income tax. They could never show why they gave Joe Barrister a gun to force a non-existent law. And Mr. Joe Barrister took his oath to uphold the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, more serious than orders of his superiors. He left the IRS because he took his oath to God and the American people to support and defend the U.S. Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. He took it very seriously. And not just foreign enemies, folks, not just Al-Qaeda and foreigners. No, we're talking about domestic enemies of the Constitution, like these politicians and these bureaucrats in governments that are violating the old top of the Constitution and are hurting the American people. So, folks, you're going to hear about all this and more at this trial, folks, in Oakland, California, at the Federal District Court, okay, in Clay Street in Oakland. And it's going to be courtroom 3 of the third floor. Chief Judge of the Federal District Court. That's where it'll be, folks. The trial will start on June 6th, this Monday, but that's the government bringing all the witnesses of, oh, how much Mr. Grant was paid, how much he made, stuff like that. We're not contesting that Mr. Grant made some money, made a living. You know, that's all fine, dandy. You know, what we are saying is that there was no law requiring him to file and pay income tax in the first place. The whole thing is a gigantic fraud. Whether Mr. Grant made $20,000 or $2 million a year, he was not required to file and pay the federal income tax. He knows it. He believes it. Folks, and the government was not able to show him the law. I mean, folks, what can you do? You cannot go to the IRS, ask them these questions. They penalize you, folks. If you ask the IRS questions about the legality of income tax, for daring to ask the question, the IRS can punish you just for asking. $5,000. Is that crazy or what, folks? This is what they're doing. They used to do in the communist Soviet Union in Russia for just going and asking a question. If you go to court, they can throw out your lawsuit. They don't have to even answer you. That's right. There's a federal law that says that any and all questions of federal law, if you're not sure how it applies to you, you can go to court and tell the court, and the court will tell you what your rights and duties are under the law. if you're supposed to, you know, hunt this animal or not, fish this animal, cut these trees or not, you know, drill for oil in this property or not. They'll tell you. Anything under federal law, they'll tell you. Except taxes. By law, the federal judges are prohibited. Okay, they're not allowed to answer your tax questions. Not to mention, if you go to court and ask tax questions, the law says the courts, the judges can fine you up to $25,000 for simply daring to ask the questions. IRS fines you $5,000 maximum. The courts can fine you $25,000, five times more maximum. So Mr. Grant did the only choice he had. He wrote to the lawmakers. The lawmakers that made the law, the branch of the government, the legislature that makes the law, not the executive, the IRS that interprets the law, not the judiciary that interprets the law. They only both interpret the law as best as they can. But the branch of the government that actually makes and writes the law. And none of them, not this Congressman Miller, not the powerful California senators Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein, could show him the law. If there's a law requiring the average American to file income tax, it should be very easy to show. Folks, either you want to know a law, you cannot open someone else's mail. It's a federal crime, for example, to open up someone else's mail. You can find out very easily in the books. The law about patents, if you get a patent, very easy, you can find it. You know, the law that says that, you know, you cannot, you know, kill endangered species on federal land, it's there. Well, where's the income tax law? Where is it? Where is the beef? As the, you know, the old Wendy's commercial says, where is the beef? They don't show us. They're supposed to be there. The law is supposed to be there, but it's not there. Folks, if you go to livefreenow.org, on the front page, I give you more specifics, okay, about this trial. And I'm going to put on there now these documents and videos that were sent to Congressman Gary Miller and Senators Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer. And all the material they were sent, you will see what was sent and why they couldn't answer. The record of Mr. Joe Bannister and We the People Foundation confronting the U.S. government about the income tax fraud, folks. That was all put, that's all in the record, folks. That's all in the court record, and it will be asked about by the defense lawyer, Mr. Cohan, by government U.S. attorneys, Mr. Grant, and myself will be testifying about it. If any way you can make it up to Oakland, the week of July 13th, you want to be there, the trial will be half day from like 8:30 till 1:30 in the afternoon. They go like 5 hours pretty straight and then take a big lunch break. No trial on Wednesday the 15th. The Wednesday's off. If you can't be there, folks, be there. Because this is going to be the trial of the decade, folks. This is going to be a trial that the government is going to be licking their wounds. They wish they had never attempted to take Richard Grant to trial. Because the government did not dare take Joe Bannister to trial when they tried to put him in jail in 2004 when they indicted him. They try to shut up Mr. Joe Bannister, but then with tax crimes, but it wasn't for not having filed and paid income tax, even though Mr. Joe Bannister had not filed and paid income tax. Government well knew it. They didn't dare put Joe Bannister on trial because the government knew they would lose, because the IRS knew Mr. Joe Bannister would in practice put the IRS and the U.S. government on trial. Well, guess what, folks? Mr. Richard Grant and I will, in practice, put the IRS, the United States Department of Injustice, and the U.S. government on trial. Why can't they show the law that requires an average American like Richard Grant to file and pay the federal income tax? So, folks, thank you for being on the call with me tonight. The call, I'm going to be ending the conference call, and I invite you, folks, to do what you want to do right now in your heart. You want to tell your friends about it? Tell them about it. Post this on your Facebook page. Email your friends about it. Tell your spouse. Tell your brother, sister, co-worker. They're going to find this amazing. Tell them now before we win this case, before Mr. Richard Grant is acquitted. You want to tell them now and let them check it out. Let them think you're crazy. Let them call you whatever they want to call you. Because afterwards, you'll get to have the last laugh and say, here it is. Here's official court victory. The government charged this man for tax evasion, and he didn't evade nothing. He is innocent. The government could never show him the law, the tax law that they claim he was evading. So thank you for being with me, and I look forward to being with you again next Thursday night. Good night, everybody.